We should make every occasion to make every occasion a great occasion, for you can never tell when someone may be measuring you for a larger place.
This is Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller, and glad that you're with us today. You know, Pastor, you bring out a great point. You never know who's watching. You never know who may be evaluating us and what potential opportunities they may be considering us for.
I've had it happen several times in my working life. I recall that I started working for Duquesne Light, which is the equivalent of Commonwealth Edison, because I'm from Pittsburgh. Shout out to all the Pittsburgh fans. And, you know, I was a fairly new believer. And when I went to the job, I decided I would represent Jesus Christ. So I wasn't a custodian. I was a Christian custodian, you know, adjective describing the noun, giving it its character. And so I did the very best job that I could do. Now, the other custodians wouldn't mop and clean and keep the place. I kept it spick and span. I used to work for Service Master Corporation. Yeah. And so I did the floors and had them shining. And guys would come in and walk their muddy boots over. And generally, you know, I was done with the work. I would go back and make sure that everything was cleaned up after them. And I would shake the mud off of their boots and all that kind of stuff. And they would look and they say, who is this guy? What is he all about? And then, of course, I would exalt Christ. Well, I didn't know it, but the boss, Bill, had been watching me. And I got promoted early and started working on one of the trucks. You know, and so I started cleaning the truck.
Yeah.
And I would clean everything and straighten it up because I was the low man. And then they decided I worked so well, they were going to make me a truck driver. Now, each of these, my motivation was just to do the best for Christ. And but each time I got a promotion and a raise.
Great how those two things often go together.
Oh, sometimes.
Yeah, well, that's part of what we're going to be looking at in today's broadcast. In addition to that, we'll be looking at some leadership principles and some of the mistakes that leaders may tend to make. So if you can, hope you'll open your Bible and join us as we continue a message entitled Takers. Here's Pastor Ford.
Acts 16. Now, this is the vision, beginning of verse 5. Of a man of Macedonia. Now, let's just listen to this. Verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came to Troas. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, come over into Macedonia and help us. Listen to this. And after he had seen the vision, Paul had seen the vision, immediately we, who's we? The rest of them, all them, mama them, daddy them. Now get this. They didn't see the vision, but they embraced it. He ain't talk about,
I don't know. He always talking about he see a vision. I don't know if that's the direction we ought to go. I ain't feeling that.
You know, in my study of the Word of God, I say it often, but I'll repeat it. You know what my problem is? Moses can get the children of Israel across the Red Sea. Joshua can get the children of Israel across the Jordan River. I can't get some of y'all to cross 79th Street. That's my problem. Now, here's what I want you to see. Oh, yeah. It's just the introduction. Joshua grew up in the ranks. He grew up in the ranks. I don't have time to do that. I'm not going to take time. But here's his story. Here's his story. He started off in Egypt as a weary slave. Then he became a warrior soldier. Then he became he's fighting the Amalekites. He's one of the leads fighting the Amalekites. Then he became a worker servant. He became Moses' right-hand man. Then he became a witness to the scriptures. He went in and only him and Caleb came back with a good report. Then he became a worshiping saint. Where was he stationed? This is a good place to be stationed as a soldier, because you're a warrior, but you need to know how to worship. You know where he was stationed? According to the scripture I'll give you in a moment, outside the tent of Moses, where Moses went to have his personal devotional time, his Bible study and prayer. And so he's standing guard. He's going to be the next in line, and he's hearing how Moses prayed, and he's seeing how Moses is writing the Torah, and he hears what Moses is asking God to do when it comes to his people. Now in the book of Joshua, he's a wise sage. He's a developed leader. He's ready to do the will of God. Let me give it to you this way. Here it is. We first see his humiliation. He's a weary slave. And then we see his dedication. Then we see his education. Then we see his maturation. Then we see his validation. Now we see his administration. You see what happened? You see the order that it went in? And so, in Exodus 17, 14. Turn there with me. What's going on here? Exodus chapter 17. Listen to this. This blew me away. Hey, Elder Dixon. Hey, Brother Richie, Brother Betts, all y'all elders in here. All you preaching teachers. This is a sermon by itself. Listen to this. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of the congregation. Is that what it says? Write. There had been no writing. Nothing was written. Everything was oral tradition. So he says, listen, I want to start writing stuff down so people can read it. So write it in a book and rehearse it in Joshua's ear. Do you know what just happened? God, that's the first time Joshua's name is mentioned in Exodus. He's saying, here's your successor. Write it down for everybody else. Rehearse it to him. Man, he's chosen. Now, what does it rehearse? Write the book, and when you rehearse, tell him, I'm going to wipe out the Amalekites. Oh, wait a minute. What was he? A slave, then a soldier. And what's a soldier need to know? I can win the victory. So you let him know. I don't want him to be timid. I don't want him to be afraid. I want him to know he can possess his possession, his inheritance. And I want him to understand that the wealth of the wicked is reserved for the righteous. I want him to understand that you go out there and fight this battle. They got swords. They got shields. You got farming tools. But they don't have me. You got me. What are you afraid of? I'm bigger than anything and everybody that's bigger than you. Man, this guy goes out and he does a number because he got a promise and he's a taker. Now get this. If he couldn't take the Amalekites, how can he take the Jebusites and the Hivites and the Girgashites and the Chilites and the mosquito bites and the termites? How you gonna take all the ites if you can't take the Amalekites? I'm gonna talk about it in a minute. Here it is. Here's the principle. We should make every occasion to make every occasion a great occasion, for you can never tell when someone may be measuring you for a larger place. Let me say it again. We should make every occasion to make every occasion a great occasion, for you never can tell when someone may be measuring you for a larger place. Okay, now let me just go on record as saying, I do not agree with everything Mr. Barack Obama does. Now, I'll say that readily. And in another sermon, I'll tell you what I don't agree with. But for right now, I will respect him. I give him a... Now, let me tell you something. Here's what happened. In 2004, he was elected to the U.S. Senate for the state of Illinois. One of only two U.S. senators. You know, every state gets two, right? Okay. And so he won. He was so excited. And it was a profound victory. It was overwhelming. Now remember where he started, on 71st Street in one of our members' building. I remember when he came and visited me and told me who he was and what he was trying to do. In 2004, a few months after he was elected, in July, the Democratic National Convention went on. And he was the keynote speaker, and he made a big splash. They went wild. Now, if you listen to what he said, I wanted them to know that the newest senator and almost the youngest senator in the Senate wasn't no pushover, that I was ready, and so I made this a great occasion. But he didn't know it. He thought he was making a great occasion as a senator. Those people at that National Democratic Convention said, that man could be the president. He could be the first African-American president of the United States of America. And that's what he became. You want to know why? Because he took every occasion to make every occasion a great occasion, just in case somebody was looking to give him a larger place. I'll never forget it. Ed Gordon was interviewing Denzel. Aren't you glad when you can know people by just one name, Denzel? Nobody says Denzel who? Beyonce. Beyonce who? Man, it's Usher, you know, Pink. You know, it's like one name, Jesus. Nobody ever says, Jesus who? And so here it is now. And Ed Gordon said, Denzel, tell us which was your greatest movie? And Denzel was getting ready to say, anybody ever watch Ed Gordon? I watch him all the time. He always interrupts them before they get a chance to answer. He likes some of y'all. Can you answer this question for me? Well, I think why are you asking me when you already know? Anyway, so he says, I bet you it was Glory, because that's where you won your Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. He said, wait a minute, I bet you it's Training Day, because that's where you won the Oscar for Best Actor. No, I bet you I know what it is. It's Malcolm X. He said, okay, what is it? I take it my guess is, what is it? And Denzel said, none of them. He said, wait a minute, none of them? Is there one we don't know about that you look as something that maybe catapulted you into stardom? No. Well, tell us, what's your best movie? And it wrecked me when I heard it. Denzel Washington looked in the camera and said, my best movie is my next one. And gave that grin. You know that grin? Gave that grin. My next one. Hey, you don't get it. You don't get it, do you? You don't see what I'm trying to do. Why did you talk about the Amalekites? Because that boy had to be tested. And you got to be tested if you're going to be a soldier. And if God's going to give you in a larger place, you got to be faithful in a smaller place before he gives you a larger place. And so what happens? If you can't beat the Amalekites, what you going to do with the other ice? Now get this. Here's what the scriptures say in the book of Luke. He that is faithful in little is faithful in much. Now, here's how I would have wrote it, sis. Let me tell you how I wrote it. I would have wrote it this way. He that is faithful in little shall be. But here's what God's saying. If I can't trust you with a dollar, I know I can't trust you with 10. If I can't trust you with a girlfriend, I know I can't trust you with a wife. If I can't trust you to clean the apartment, why should I give you a house? You want a business, you ain't even faithful in the job.
This is Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford. Really a helpful look at what God has entrusted into our care and how are we managing that? Well, we're going to get back to this message called Takers in just a moment. Want to let you know that Treasure Truth is a listener-supported program, and that's exactly what it sounds like. Those who listen to Pastor Ford's Bible teaching, who are growing in their walk with Christ because of that and who appreciate it and want to stand financially with it, that's how this whole thing works. So if you are benefiting, we'd love to hear about that, but also I'd ask you to give a financial gift so we can continue to pay for production costs and airtime and everything else that it takes to make this ministry run. You can give a gift online by coming to treasuredtruthradio.org and clicking on the donate button. Again, that's at treasuredtruthradio.org. Well, we are in Joshua chapter 1 as we get back to our message entitled Takers. Here is Pastor Ford.
I had some more statistics, but I didn't even say them. That retail theft, $43 billion. The number one theft in retail is employees. Anyway, let me leave it alone. Yeah, because it's $18 billion for the movie industry. Want to know why? Bootleg DVDs, takers. Anyway, so what's going on here? So here it is. Why should I let you lead a ministry and you don't even have come to church? David didn't know that watching his daddy's sheep was preparation for watching God's sheep. Now listen, here's what it says, Exodus 17:10. So Joshua did as Moses said. Caveat, follow him as he followed Christ. That's what he was doing. Here's the principle. If you don't know how to lead, finish it. You heard me say it a lot. You're not fit to follow. That's right. Joshua learned how to lead under Moses, and he was ready. I showed you his process that he went through. I'm not going to go over it again, but here's the kicker. Here's the flip side. Elders, deacons, listen to me. Don't get mad. Listen to me. The flip side is this. Let me put it in the words of a counseling session I had. Here it is. They're in the counseling session. And they're angry. I remember when they got married, I put two chairs out. They practically sat in one, pulled them together. Now after 3 years, I put two chairs down and they pull them apart. And so I say, what's the issue? She won't follow. I said, well, you know, the Bible says that you're the leader, you're the head, you ought to follow. You ought to follow, sister. Why aren't you following? She looked at him, not me, and said, I'm not following because he's not going anywhere. You can't follow a parked car. Now, let me just say something. Even if that is true, she did the right thing in the wrong way. And let me just tell some of you ladies who want to try to get your husband to counseling. The reason why a lot of men don't want to come to counseling is because of what just happened. That is, they feel that you are going to castrate them in front of another man that you think has what you want them to have that you think they don't. Did you hear me? That's why you can't get them. Because you came on talking about, you know, Pastor Ford do this for, he called her sugar baby, he don't call me, no, you know. I heard him say he did this and that. First of all, you don't know if he really doing all that. Second of all, I ain't Pastor Ford. Third of all, you ain't Sister Ford. Amen. But it was a point well taken. I'm not going to call her name even though she gave me permission, because she may not remember she gave me permission because it was 15 years ago. But one of the sisters came up to me 15 years ago. She said, Pastor Ford, I don't mean any harm to you or your elders, but you know what you need to do? I said, what do I need to do? I almost called her name. I ain't calling her name. I ain't even looking at her right now. She said, take your elders to the elder store and get a refund. That's what she said. That's what she said. Why did she feel that way? Because you can't follow a parked car. Amen. Amen. And so when you look at what's going on here, I want to tell you something. I need every elder, I'll send on an email. I need every elder, not just to read The Turnaround Church by Dr. Perry, I need them to read The Top 10 Mistakes Leaders Make by Hans Finsel. Don't worry about it. I'll send it to you. I just want to give them to you right now. Here they are. Now, I read this book as a student at Moody. I read it again as a graduate student at Trinity, but I'm reading it now again as pastor of Christ Bible Church. Here's the 10 in a nutshell. Here's the 10 top mistake leaders make. Here it is. Number one, top-down attitude. You're large and in charge, big baller, shot caller, number one stunner, player from the Himalaya, and nobody can tell you anything. Number two, putting paperwork before people work. That this is all about fellowship. We are organism before we're organization. Number three, the absence of affirmation. Paul in Romans 16 told those people and get those names. Why? Because he wanted everybody to know, I'm not in this by myself. Some of who are ministering, they're not looking for money, but they are waiting to hear somebody say, thank you. I appreciate you. You're doing a job well done. Here's our tendency. Let me speak for myself. Here's my tendency. The folk who are peripheral, that's what you give your time to and attention to. But the folk who are there, you know, going to stay there, you ignore them. When the Bible says the peripheral folk, you shouldn't put any time or treasure on them. That's what it says. Teach. It says, find faithful, available teacher. Here's 2 Timothy 2, 2:2. And the things which thou hast both heard and seen in me do. And the same commit thou to faithful people who shall be able to teach others also. There it is. That's called discipleship for those of you who may not know. Here it is. Let me just drop them real quick. Number four, mistake leaders make no room for mavericks. I said it on Wednesday. Sometimes we see new people as an intrusion when God sent them as an infusion. Now, not all, because some people come from other places where they got all kind of mess. And they bring that mess in here. And when I hear that mess, I deal with that mess. Because it's mess. And we don't want to be about mess. Amen. Number five, dictatorship in decision making. That is, you, it's always got to be your way or the highway. And when we were here with Dr. Perry, I'm going to let you in on elder business, even though I ain't supposed to. I said to them, okay, somebody say, okay, he's a dictator. Okay, then, and I asked them corporately and individually, somebody tell me something that I did that violated your authority as an elder or a pastor or a bishop in this church and didn't repent of it whenever I did it. And so I picked on a campus pastor. I said, Pastor Avery, in front of all the elders and deacons. I said, what do they call me over at CBC3? Senior pastor. I said, what do they call you at CBC3? Campus pastor. I said, has there been anything where we have disagreed since we've been there a little over a year at CBC3? He said, yeah. I said, about eight things. Now, of those eight things that weren't biblical, no book, chapter, verse, how many times did I overrule you? He said, none. I said, I never said I like my way better. We're doing it. Not one time. And there ain't an elder in here that can say I ever did it, because we have elder rule, and that's what I abide by, because that's our system. We're not like the other churches where the pastor is responsible for everything. We have elder rule, and I, for one, respect the God-given polity.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, a message entitled Takers, and a little insightful look at the way that Pastor Ford's church runs. By the way, if you ever want to visit Christ Bible Church of Chicago, you can find out more information about that when you come to our website. It's treasuredtruthradio.org. Look for the link that says About. You'll find out more about Pastor Ford and about the church where he serves as senior pastor. If you just want to find out more about this program, look for the Stay Connected bar. There's a lot of really useful and helpful links right there, like to our Facebook page or Twitter feed, and also a link that will allow you to download the Moody Radio app. The app is free, and it makes it possible for you to listen to this Bible teaching and other programs produced by Moody Radio on the go, you know, whenever it fits your schedule. We'll link you to the app and a lot more when you come to treasuredtruthradio.org, and again, click on the Stay Connected bar. Well, thanks for listening today. Hope you'll make it a point to tune in next time. Thanks also to our producer, Amy Rios. For Pastor Ford, I'm Steve Hiller. Treasure Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.